The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us today on this community of Jesus apprentices, where we are trying to live according to Jesus' way, loving like He loved, serving like He served, and being like Jesus. As you may know, The Rescue Worker, the community of apprentices of The Rescue Worker, we have a model that we try to live for. And the model is the following. Love, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. We try to accomplish and live according to this model. Not every time we can or we are able, but we try to have that in our mind. And we try to lift up where we fall down and keep going towards to this model. Today, we are starting our ninth series. That's right. 9 weeks together. Or we have been eight weeks together, and today we are starting the 9th week. And that's amazing. That's powerful. And every week we have a memory verse. And here is the memory verse of this week, of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And the memory verse for this week is, later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. What a powerful verse to memorize. We'll be studying more about this verse tomorrow. But I think we need to follow Levi's example, to hear and accept Jesus' call for ourselves, and to follow Jesus, leaving everything behind and having Jesus as the priority of our lives. Well, today we'll be studying Luke chapter 5, starting on verse 17 and going up to verse 26. And there's so many lessons, and I wish we had more time, maybe a few weeks, just to resonate and think about these verses. But I'll try to point out a few aspects for you to consider, pray about it, and maybe ask God to guide you. But more than some direction that I may give you, we need the Holy Spirit direction. Without Him, there is no way for us to understand God's message for us, and there is no way for us to apply those messages in our lives. So we need to ask for God, for God's direction and the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we need to come to God, come to His presence. And we know by Hebrews 4:16 that God is willing, waiting for us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. So we know that God has a plan for us, that God has a blessing for us, mercy and grace every time we come to Him. So we should come to God every time. We should not leave His presence. That is the reality. So at this moment, I want to give you 1 minute for you to prepare yourself to be in God's presence through His Word, to ask God for His direction, for His guidance, for His Holy Spirit. And then after this minute of reflection and prayer, we'll have the opportunity to study some of the lessons of Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Lord, we come to you this morning to hear your voice, seek your presence, and to surrender to Jesus Christ. Accept our will, Lord, and desire to follow you. Help us, Lord, to hear only you. Clean our mind from any other thoughts. Clean our heart from any other feelings. Clean, Lord, our eyes so we can just see you through your word. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before we start reading verse 17, let's try to remember where we are. We are studying the public ministry of Jesus, the first days of the public ministry of Jesus. A public ministry that was focused in the synagogues and in the Galilee. It started that way. A public ministry that has a script to follow. And what is that script? Well, Jesus presented in his first words in his public ministry. So Luke 4, 18 and 19. And I always will come back to here, so we can have this idea what Jesus is all about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, the Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guiding, empowering Jesus through every aspect of his life. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So we know that Jesus' ministry is based on that. And what we see is the unfolding of those concepts on Jesus' daily life. Somehow, every moment that Luke presents Jesus, he is trying to build something on previous concept, right? I have mentioned to you before that Luke works with repetition and enlargement. He repeats something and then he enlarges, expand that concept. So we saw Luke present Jesus as a rabbi, a preacher. Then we saw him, he's a preacher, but he has a power over the spirit. Authority of their spirit. And it's a question of authority as well. Authority over the word of God. The authority over the interpretation of the word of God. The authority over the spirits and the demons and evil spirits, right? He's an exorcist, right? He is a healer. He has authority over the diseases. And we saw that as he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And as well, the leper, right? We saw that he has power over the nature, authority over the nature. The fishes came to the net, right? That's beautiful. We saw him as focusing people and inviting people to follow him, learn how is the kingdom all about and how to live the kingdom here. So you see, Luke is trying to build up every aspect with the leper, healing someone with leprosy. Luke is saying that Jesus has authority over the laws of Moses, right? He's able to call someone and declare the person clean, something that is only entitled to the priest, right? So Luke is adding up this picture of who is Jesus. And I think here he comes to the summit somehow on the account of verse 17 to 26. So I hope you grasped the concept or the flow of Luke up to this point. If you have missed one of the episodes or want to watch again, you just go to our archives on YouTube, Facebook or even podcast, and you can watch or listen those. And how to find? Go to our website, therescueworker.com. But now let's turn to verse 17. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men show up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. There's so much here in this verse 17 of Luke chapter 5. But let's try to break down here and present some of important concepts. Let's start by the end, the last statement. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. That reference, the Lord's healing power, is intrinsically related to the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. If you remember Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we read, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power." So the power of healing comes from the Holy Spirit. So we need to keep that in mind that, yes, the Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be present directly or indirectly all the time. So Jesus is performing miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit. But here we see a group of people, and for the first time they are introduced in the Gospel of Luke, the Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting. And these people came from everywhere, from every village in all Galilee. And remember, I think in the last session or a previous one, I mentioned that Josephus, this Jewish historian, he said that at the time of Jesus, probably we had 200 villages and towns in Galilee. So we are seeing here more than 200 people, let's say, from every village. Not only from Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. The news about Jesus was going around. So those leaders, this group of people come. But who are the Pharisees? I know sometimes we refer to the Pharisees in not a nice way. And sometimes we even label people with this, "Oh, you're a Pharisee," right? To denote not a praise in a sense, right? But who are the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees was a group of people on the life of Judaism, and basically they had a very specific lifestyle. Okay, the word Pharisee is even hard to try to find an etymological definition, but the idea would be someone set apart to try to live a poor life, right? A clean life, right? They believe on the Hebrew Bible completely and literally, right? And they also believe in the same level, the tradition and the understanding and interpretation of major leaders and teachers about the Hebrew Bible. So they take into consideration the word of God, but also the tradition of men about the word of God. For them, that is important, because their goal is to live in a perfect way, the Torah, right? That's the main goal for them. They try not to get involved with anything that can hurt them or spiritually, right? So they try to live in a segregated group of people, right? They cannot be unclean. So they follow the purification laws very well. So in trying to avoid to be unclean, spiritual unclean, so they don't sit or eat with sinners. They don't hang out with them because they cannot be contaminated by them. So they live, let's say, in an isolated aspect, segregating people because you can make me unclean so I don't hang out with you. I need to be clean. I need to be clean. I need to follow the instructions of the Torah and the tradition that was given to us. So they were very faithful to the purification process and laws. They were very key on tithing, right? That was crucial for them. This spiritual discipline of fasting, right? It's all about having the right information and the right behavior and not be involved with things that can defile them, right? They are very peculiar. And another main pillar for them is the strict and observance of the Sabbath day, right? For them, it's crucial to observe the Sabbath in the proper way, right? I know sometimes we refer then, oh, you're Pharisee, in a not in a good tone to people, but they were good people. They are trying to live by the word, fulfill the word, but I think they missed the boat in a sense. And they are so good that I tell you that Jesus is more aligned theologically with the Pharisees than any other group of Judaism at the time, the Essenes or the Sadducees or the priests, right? Jesus is more aligned with the Pharisees. And Jesus said, if your righteousness, no, don't go over the Pharisees' righteousness, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus had many praises to the Pharisees. And somehow the Pharisees are introduced here and will be a very important group and dialogue and interaction with Jesus and his ministry. And why? Well, what we may not know is that the Pharisees and Jesus had the main goal and passion, the kingdom of God. That's right. The main goal of the Pharisees was to see the kingdom of God implemented. For sure, they had a different understanding of the kingdom of God being a political, earthly system, okay? So a political earth system. So they have this idea. And here a point that we need to keep in mind. Every time that my understanding about the kingdom of God is more aligned with politicians and politics here on this earth, my understanding of the kingdom is more aligned with the Pharisees than with Jesus. Okay? That's one point. So the Pharisees were looking for the kingdom of God. So as they heard Jesus talking about the kingdom, they say, who is this guy? And he's doing healings and he's doing great teachings and have authority over the spirits, the evil spirits and the demons. And he's talking about the kingdom. Hey, this is one of our guys. Let's check him out. Let's try to recruit him. We are talking about the same thing. But there is a difference here. Why the Pharisees were so key in keeping the Torah, the five first books of the Bible, the tradition, why they were so key and try to fast, not to get unclean, to keep the Sabbath day of tithing, why they're doing that? They thought that the way to implement the kingdom was through being perfect. They understand that the kingdom of God would be implemented when people had the right theology and the right behavior, and people would be clean. So they will enforce, coerce their understanding and their behavior in other people. So they had the wrong understanding about the kingdom, and they didn't understand correctly how to implement the kingdom. And sometimes we think that the kingdom will be implemented by the right theology or by the right behavior. And we should promote the right theology and the right behavior. I'm not saying that the right theology or the right behavior are not good, but I don't think that is the end or the goal of the kingdom, right? But anyhow, so they come to see Jesus and they are sitting. And we have talked about that already. This process of being sitting means that I'm teaching. So one idea is maybe they are in dialogue with Jesus, right? Remember when Jesus was teaching the boat, he sat. When Jesus went to teach in the synagogues, he sat. The position of sitting, like I'm here right now, in the biblical times, had this concept of teaching. I'm teaching you, okay? So maybe they are trying to convey a few ideas and adjust Jesus to the right theology according to them and the right behavior, because Jesus didn't have all right according to them. But sitting has the idea of as well of judgment. So if I'm sitting, I'm judging your cause, right? And we can see that maybe both ways is applicable here. So that's the situation. There's a large group of Pharisees and people that are teachers of the law sitting around Jesus. They are there. And Jesus continued doing his ministry, his powerful ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now comes verse 18. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. A paralyzed man. A paralyzed man was considered a person that was not fit for be in the community of the Essenes, or even to be a priest. Is a broken person, has a problem, needs to be away. But this paralyzed man, he has a community. I call that the community of the mat. People that care for him. People that loved him, people that want to bring him to Jesus Christ, the solution. And more we need communities of the mat. People that will be willing to take people to Jesus Christ, to take those that are unfavorable according to the human understanding, to bring those that are broken, to bring those that are not perfect to Jesus Christ. We need communities of the mat for ourselves. I aim. You don't know how much I pray for a community that will care, will carry Douglas, the broken Douglas. I have been praying for that. A community that I can be myself and not just behind the pastoral role. One day, I believe, I haven't not give up, the community of the mat. And they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. This community of the mat is bringing this broken person to Jesus, but they cannot because of the crowd. Who was the multitude there that Luke just mentioned before? Pharisees and teachers of the law. Yeah, for sure there are many others, but the majority of them was for this group. So this community of Pharisees and teachers of the law and others, they were an obstacle for the community of the mat to bring that paralyzed man to Jesus Christ. We have two communities here. One, bringing someone that is broken to Jesus. In another community that is holding people to come to Jesus. Have you realized that most of the time the people that hold us to bring Jesus, people to Jesus, is religious people by their way of the right knowledge, the right behavior? There is a very important lesson here for us. I don't know if you're grasping, but my question for you is, what kind of community are you? The community of the mat that is trying to bring a broken person to Jesus? Or you are that religious community that avoid people to come to Jesus? So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crown, right in front of Jesus. That community will not give up. No matter what the obstacles, they will try to overcome. They will try to innovate. They will try to think out of the box. They will try to do things in different ways that nobody had done before, so they could bring someone to Jesus. Oh, how we need more of communities of the mat. How I need someone to be part of my community of the mat. And somehow how we must be the community of mat for someone. Try to find ways to bring people to Jesus no matter what. No matter what is holding us back. And pay attention. Verse 20. So Luke 5 verse 20. Seeing their faith. The faith of the community. Not just the faith of the man in the mat. But the faith of those women that were carrying the man in the mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." That man received the blessing that he was looking for because of the faith of the community. How the community can be heard for God and one person be blessed because of the community. How much we need the community of the mat. You need the community of the mat. And what was the message of Jesus? Your sins are forgiven. That was a problem. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." You see, pay attention to what Luke is presenting to us here. He's presenting Jesus as the one that can forgive sins. And the only one that can forgive sins, and the Pharisees were right, was whom? God. Only God. And how you deal with sin? Well, it was very clear. If you have a sin, and if that sin became public, and depend on kind of sin, you need to go to the temple in Jerusalem. You need to grab a lamb. You need to put your hand on top of the head of that lamb. Confess your sins upon that lamb, and transfer the sins to that lamb. You're supposed to kill that lamb, slaughter that lamb, and offer as an offering for your sin. And then your sin will be forgiven. That's the process. There's no other way. So how is this Jesus saying that he can forgive sins? The Pharisees was putting the right theology and with the right behavior. And he's saying, hey, what Jesus has done here, it is wrong. It's not based on the right theology and it's not the proper behavior and action. It is wrong. Only God can resolve the problems of sin, and there is a proper way to resolve the problems of sin. It's through the temple and the priests, and yeah, this guy, we need to fix this guy here. But as we see here now, the discussion go further. So, verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." Whoa, there's so much here. But Jesus say, hey, if you're questioning, you're right. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And that's the reason I'm forgiving sins. I am the Son of Man. What is this Son of Man? What title is that? Well, this title comes from the Hebrew Bible, in specific, from the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, we see the Son of Man as the Messiah, the one that judges and brings justice, the one that is able to cleanse someone and declare forgiven, to deal with sins. So Jesus called himself or referred to himself as the Son of Man, as the one that the prophets told, in specific Daniel, and say, I am this person, and I will show you right now that I'm this person. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. What Luke is saying here, Jesus is not just a great preacher. He's not the most important rabbi. He's not the one that has power and authority, only has power and authority over the demons and the evil spirits. He's not only the one that have authority over the diseases. He's not only the one that has authority over nature. He is God. God in flesh. Luke is presenting to everyone that is reading his letter, that basically were people that didn't know about Jesus, didn't have a concept about Jesus. And he's building up block by block, piece by piece, who is Jesus? And he's saying, Jesus is God, and Jesus can forgive sins. And the way he forgives, he has authority over the law of God, over the law of Moses, and is not necessary to lambs to be sacrificed, to be dealt with sin. Jesus can deal with that. Verse 25. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up. And there's so many miracles here. That man was paralyzed. I don't know if you had to be in a hospital bed for some time or in a casket, right? I had this situation. And take some time for you to learn to walk again. If you stay, you need to strengthen your muscles, you need to find your balance and learn to walk. This man that has been paralyzed, he jumps. He start walking. So it's the miracle of being healing, the miracle that he's walking, jumping, running, right? Pick up his mat and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. We have seen God. Wow. You see, on the Western world, this concept is foreigner to us somehow, that diseases are related to spiritual matters. In other parts of the world, sometimes those are to combine, right? That's the reason some religious leader is able to try to deal with diseases, because they think are related to spirituality and sin and all that. But here, somehow Jesus is saying that that disease was related to sin, or the consequence of sin, directly or not. Directly consequences of the sin of that man, maybe. And Jesus, before he healed that man, he healed the life and the spirituality of that man. More than being able to walk, that man had to feel forgiven. And Jesus is showing his authority and power over sin. He is God. It is interesting that in the gospel, or in the writings of Paul, Paul mentioned that it's the Holy Spirit that give us the forgiveness of sin. It's how God implements the forgiveness is through the Holy Spirit. And we see the account starting with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in Jesus provides the forgiveness of sins, because Jesus is God. So up to this point, you could see Jesus as great healer, an exorcist, teacher, preacher. But Luke doesn't want to leave any doubt. Jesus is God. And the question that I have for you is Jesus your God? The one that you submit? Or your religion life, your thoughts and ideas about God, your ideas about how to live this life is your guide? The reason we need to follow Jesus is because he's God. And Christianity do not accept only that Jesus is a good preacher, or teacher, or philosopher. Like, oh, no, Jesus was God, but he was a good man. No, he cannot be a good man saying that he's God. If someone say, hey, I'm God, you say, this guy is crazy or a liar. So there is no way to say he's a good man based on the claims that he had. If you're saying that Jesus is not God, then he's a liar or a crazy man. He cannot be a good man and good philosopher. No, he's crazy and a liar if you don't accept Jesus as God, because he claims that he's God. And he invites you and I to accept him as God today. Wow, so many lessons today, right? Is God, is Jesus your God? Do you have a community of the mat? Are you part of a community of a match of someone? Are you a stumbling block to lead people to Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this study. So much to think and contemplate. And Lord, you're Almighty God. So help us, Lord. Forgive our sins. And bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions of reflection that will try to help you as you reflect upon what we study. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you. I hope I will see you tomorrow as we continue this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Take some time to reflect. Take some time to make some decisions for your life today. And may God help us to be a community of Matt. See you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.